Welcome to E-Society Podcast.
Hey, hey, what's up? This is Asu back again, E-Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. And this is an E-Society check-in. But before I go any further, it's the Nez.
Yo, yo, what's up, everybody? We're back. We just dropped you a check-in yesterday, whenever you're hearing this. You guys heard the last one. We're recording this like the day after that. Hold on. Got to take my old man pills. But we were supposed to talk about it last episode, but we started talking about everything else but what we were going to do. But so we're coming back with Marvel's What If. This is Marvel Studios, right?
Yes.
All right. So Marvel Studios What If. But before we dive into that, I want to talk about the Eternals. Did you watch that new trailer that dropped this morning?
Yep, definitely did.
All right. I don't know if it was the last episode or one of the last episodes we talked about it. I wasn't feeling it at all. But this trailer now, I'm like, all right, I'm on board. So I mean, they showed us a lot. I know a little. I'm not like fully up to date on the Eternals, but man, I thought that first trailer we got, I think it was more just a little teaser of what's to come. So I wasn't really like, I was like, all right, whatever. But I don't know, man. This new one. I mean, I just thought it was amazing. So I'm like, all right, I'm ready now. So what did you think of it?
Yeah, I definitely was excited to see more. It was interesting. Kit Harington, his Black Knight character, is the one that asks in the trailer, like, why didn't you do anything about Thanos? Because whenever you bring along some character that is like overpowered and should know and do better, you do have to have a story reason. Well, where were they when this big time thing went down, you know? But then it's cool to know, not only, you know, did they have a reason, like what happened, and with, you know, the Avengers bringing everybody back, like it actually causes an event that whatever they're doing with the story is directly because of what Tony Stark did when he snapped. I guess Tony Stark was the one that actually got rid of Thanos and the Black Order. I guess Hulk was actually the one that brought everybody back with the snap, you know?
Yeah. So I was, again, that first teaser, I was kind of like, all right, whatever. I'm not really interested on what's going to happen. But this trailer answered some of my questions, because I remember the first question I had when we found out or what we saw that first one was like, where were these guys during all the chaos, the Battle of New York and stuff like that and everything? So especially with Infinity War and Endgame, where were they? But at least in this trailer, they kind of hinted like, well, because someone goes, well, why didn't we help? And they're like, well, because of this and that. So I'm still kind of like, all right, whatever. As far as like, I mean, they could only tell you so much in this trailer. But I'm like, all right, okay, I see where we're going. And my question was answered. And I love Angelina Jolie, Academy Award winner Angelina Jolie. I'm on board with her. I mean, no matter what. Yeah, not all her movies are good, but it's good to see that she jumped on board with Marvel Studios. So I'm in. Paperboy is just good.
Paperboy.
It's good just to see him and everything. He's obviously getting money, and he's a money maker boy and all that stuff. But
I love the ending, the table, you know.
This vibranium, and then
yeah, and he's like, fall collection, IKEA.
So I mean, I'm in now. I mean, because I remember when it dropped, everyone was going, "Oh my god, oh my god!" I was like, "All right, well, let me watch this." So I clicked on it, and shit. By the time this trailer was over, I was like, "Wow!" So I mean, I'm ready. I mean, we're not getting this until November, which is only a few months away. So
yeah, but, right around the corner,
like 2.5 months away, and
some I'm waiting change. For the pops.
So. Right now the only one I want is Angelina Jolie and Salma Hayek.
Yeah.
I know the characters, but I don't really know much. So I'm gonna be going in there fresh, like some of you that don't even know who the Eternals are. So
yeah,
I'm gonna take it for what it is. This is the beginning stage of the new stuff, so. I mean, we already got the kickoffs with Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision, Hawkeye's coming, Ms. Marvel and all that. But this is officially the first movie. I mean, not Black Widow. I mean, that was something that happened a long time ago. I mean, that opened the door for Hawkeye. So, okay. But, this is going to move forward into what's to come and everything. Right. I mean, cool, right on, start off with these guys, but damn it, give me X-Men and Fantastic Four. And
well, Fantastic Four is coming. We don't know about the X-Men. We keep throwing out, oh, does that mean this? Does that mean that? The one thing we know for sure is happening is Deadpool is happening, and he's technically and X-Men and opens up that X-Men universe. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that and like what like the explanation is. Is it the multiverse? Is it, you know, Loki? Sylvie?
I don't know. I mean,
is that how you get to X-Men?
If they do, yeah. I'm in. I mean, again, this is all a whole new story to me. So I mean, I didn't really dive into the characters and the comic books and everything. So I was like, eh, all right, whatever. But I mean, this is obviously in the MCU. It does take place and aftermath of everything else. But I don't know, man. I mean, I'm ready for it. Hopefully everything will calm down again so we can go in the theater and not worry, but I don't know, the way things are climbing, I don't know yet. Cases here are kind of leveled right now, hopefully they don't go any higher, but also dealing with the fire. Yesterday was then the day before was real hectic. Today, looking over there towards the areas where the fire is, I can see smoke. I can't see flames anymore. So from what I understand, and looking at the fire maps, it looked like it blew back over the mountain and into another direction. I mean, there's still structures over there and everything, but it looks like as of now, it's not coming towards us. And hopefully that's it. I mean, it's not it, but I hope that they can get a better hold on what's going on. I mean, it's still out of control and everything, but I think we're safe right now. But the highways are still closed. We were running out of gas in our local gas stations because the Mini Mart and gas station here on the res, they were out of gas yesterday. But this morning when I drove past there, I saw a tanker. I made it. There is a couple that are still open to get to Susanville, but it's like way, way out of the way. You got to go a million miles out of the way to use them. So hopefully the 395 north or south, the one that I take, I mean, it's I hear that they're getting ready to open it again. I mean, it was still closed today. I couldn't get to work. So I don't know. Back to the Eternals. is Angelina Jolie, is she someone was saying that she might be linked to Submariner? I don't know. It was something I was reading.
Not that I've heard. I'm pretty sure everybody is an Eternal except for Kit Harington, Jon Snow. Like I've been saying, he's going to be Black Knight. So that's interesting. I wonder if he's already going to get like maybe a spinoff show after this. Because he has all kinds of his own books, you know.
You think he would do it? Another TV
show? Oh, yeah. I think so.
Because what? Is Game of Thrones his claim to fame? I know he's been in a ton of things, but...
Yeah. I know. He was actually in a movie I really liked. It was like MI6. It was like a conspiracy thriller kind of thing.
All right.
Everybody knows it is Jon Snow.
That's all I see. I mean, no matter what. I mean, there's a lot of actors. You see them, that's all you're going to see. I mean.
Right. Well, you know, the main dude in this, too, played his brother, Robb Stark. The main Eternal in this was Robb Stark. Richard Madden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm watching the trailer right now, so I'm just amazed at what I'm seeing. But I'm excited. And like you guys have been listening to the show, and you remember that I said I wasn't even interested or excited about it. And I was going to see it regardless because I was like, who knows, maybe it'll change my mind. I think that this trailer indeed changed my mind, and I'm ready to see more. And I want to see this on the big screen. I did see Black Widow on the big screen, and then I came home and watched it on TV. Shout out to the Zisu here. How many times Black Widow? Really quick, we need to finish our ESP at the movies Black Widow.
We were in the middle of it.
we were like an hour in, and then the internet went out. So we'll get back to it. It'll be later. It'll be late, but we still need to put it out.
Still got
to
finish it, yeah.
I don't even remember where we were when we stopped.
We were, I think, at the prison breakout.
Geez, that's still in the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, full spoilers, everyone. You guys, I'm sure you all have seen it by now. So, I mean, because we were kind of dancing around it a little bit, and then we said F it and just started with it, but... That's coming, everyone. We need to finish it, but we're dropping these anchors for you guys. But all right, everyone, we are here to talk about Marvel's What If Chapter 2. What was it called?
What if T'Challa was a Star-Lord, which is interesting because I always assumed it would just be what if T'Challa was Star-Lord, but they stuck the A in there in the title. What if T'Challa was a Star-Lord? That's pretty interesting.
The thing I'm looking at right now says, what if T'Challa became... Yeah, all right, I see a Star-Lord, ? All right.
Yeah.
Yes, it was awesome to hear the great Chadwick Boseman again, from what they were saying, that he did do some more voice work for future episodes of What If, so that'd be good to see him. But man, how did you feel when you heard his voice?
Yeah, I mean, it brings you back, and like, man, it's crazy too, especially with the way this episode turned out. Like what a voice, and like, it really is such like honor in his voice. So he was so fitting to play T'Challa, you know?
Yeah. With this multiverse, they could easily slide someone else in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's funny that you say that because I think we're on the same page. Like, what if they actually do the multiverse and now that they need somebody to step in, they could cast somebody as like T'Challa Star-Lord, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, right now, I mean, it's a good thing that they started this multiverse and different timelines and everything.
Right.
Because, I mean, that would be...
That's how they can do it. That's how they can recast anybody, really.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe that's what they're doing with Wakanda Forever, because we know nothing about it yet.
Yeah, except for it's probably Wakanda versus Atlantis.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I don't want them CGI-ing somebody.
I don't know what they're going to do, but I almost get the feeling they won't have him in it at all. Like, I don't know what they're going to do, how they're going to say it. They say it's a big tribute to him, but I don't know what story-wise they're going to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, we're going to watch him and we're going to feel sad.
Oh yeah.
He was such a great character. I mean, that's all every time we see anything that Chadwick Boseman has done in his career. I mean, I see him as Jackie Robinson. I see him as Other Soul. I see him as T'Challa, the Black Panther. I mean, it's, I don't know. It was a shocker for everybody.
Yeah, out of nowhere. Yeah, you just didn't know it was even possible.
Yeah, I didn't. I was just expecting to see him back in the next movie.
Yeah.
I mean, watching him on Saturday Night Live, they said he was sick that whole time. And we got to see T'Challa in that, which was awesome with the
right.
That was hilarious. But I don't know. I was watching... what's the James Brown one? Get on up. I was watching that and I was, oh man. I mean, he did a good job as James Brown. I haven't watched Black Panther in a long time, so I should throw that in and check it out. This, what if T'Challa became a Star-Lord? I mean, this, other than to hear his voice and to see the animation of T'Challa was awesome. It was good to hear a lot of voices that all from the actors that played them in the Guardians movies, like Michael
Rooker. Very cool.
T'Challa's T'Chaka, John Canny, I think that's his last name. His dad, he got the voice. Thanos, Josh Brolin, he popped
amazing.
In
that was such a nice surprise, even though his name is in the credits before you see the episode. For some reason, I was like, it'll be like a line, or even I wouldn't have been surprised if they just reused a line he had already like said, like from a previous film. But to see like what he did in it, I was like, whoa. I mean, definitely wasn't expecting that. It was like a really cool surprise.
And what I liked about it is T'Challa was the one that talked Thanos out of the world galaxy domination.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I love that so much, but it's so interesting. Like, you could be like, on one hand, you could be like, oh man, Peter Quill, like, what a scumbag. But actually, it went to show in this, like, there's always like some after effect, like in this, like the collector filled that power void. And not only that, because they didn't do what they did, Peter Quill was open to be like just taken by Ego, which that was amazing that Kurt Russell actually recorded a line. That was unbelievable.
Man, that was cool that he came back. And Benicio del Toro, the collector we saw in the movies, isn't the collector in this episode. It was somebody like more of a menace and more of a bad guy.
Yeah. Collector,
it seemed like he was in between. What's his name too? Korath? I can never pronounce this guy's name.
Yeah, it's like Digimon Huson.
Yeah, him. I mean, it was good to hear his voice and see him again.
He was hyped, too. I loved it. He was, excited. Karen Gillian as Nebula.
The way this started, it was it, like how the movie, the first Guardians started, but it was because even when Star-Lord, well, maybe you guys know me as Star-Lord, and they were kind of like, who?
Who?
And this, he was like, oh, my God. It is.
Oh, yeah, Star-Lord, I love you.
Even Yondu, he wasn't the badass asshole that he was in Guardians. Yeah. He was all nice. His teeth weren't all crazy. They were all nice and perfect.
And it was interesting, too, because he said, like, you may be the soul of this ship, but I'm still the captain. And that, like, says everything right there. Like, what T'Challa was, like, the soul. Like, he brought so much to the galaxy and, like, everything we said. Plus Nebula, like, without the everything that bad happened to her, she doesn't have all her, like, crazy metal things on her head, you know?
She wasn't, an android or anything? And right. What's her name? She's not even in this time. Yeah, she's like,
That was hella funny because he mentions, obviously, without Thanos doing what he did, Drax's wife and daughter are alive. So he drops the line about, T'Challa, Star-Lord. He's like, let me get a picture with you for my wife and daughter. And then even though it wasn't Batista, which was sad, because Batista does stuff. Like, have you seen that streamer commercial he did for Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN? Like, he does stuff, so I'm actually shocked they couldn't get him to drop those lines. But that was so funny where he's like, oh, we need to take it again. He said, I looked perfect. You looked horrible.
I think I was thinking that. I was like, how come he couldn't just come in and do a couple lines? It might have been all this stuff was recorded a long time ago.
Yeah.
So he could have been deep into the whatever that zombie movie was. And all the other thing. He's just boom, 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 boom. It's like one job after another.
Yep. I saw a thing where he said that before Drax, like coming out of WWE, I don't know what they paid him or what he spent his money on, but I guess he was like dead, like flat broke after WWE. And he was like actually super depressed until he got Drax. And he said Drax like actually turned his life around.
I mean, he was good in the ring and everything, but yeah, pretty much everything is paid for. But I mean, if you're not John Cena, CM Punk, or whoever the high ups are. I mean, because a lot of guys don't really, I mean, they work all the time, but sometimes a lot of these guys don't get the TV money because the roster on WWE is so big. They have them all working every night for the house shows, but for TV, it's rare that everybody gets to shine. I mean, that's because I always say this. I'm like, these are every time there's a pay-per-view, it's like, we saw this match on Raw or we saw this match on SmackDown. And I'm like, why do you keep dragging these same wrestlers over and over and over? I mean, he was one of those ones they used a lot, but I'm glad that he fell into acting because I remember when he first started acting, I was he was never really good on the mic. But he blew me away. He was going to be rough, tough, knucklehead muscle, which is awesome. I love when he does those roles, but the role that stands out to me is Blade Runner 2049.
Oh,
he was only in the beginning.
Park. Yeah.
But
the way he acted.
Yeah, he was excellent. And even if you go watch that little mini episode that they made of that character before the movie, he can do serious roles. He can do action movies. I was like kind of iffy on the comedies when I just asked you if you saw My Spy. That was hilarious.
Yep.
Or one he did with the Uber one.
Stuber.
Stuber, yeah. I mean, that was hilarious. He can do comedy. I mean, he can do it all. If you can do serious roles, action, and comedy, I mean, he's an all-around good actor. And I'm glad that he can do. But wrestling, when you are a wrestler, you mean, yes, you're acting, and not everyone is good on the mic. Like The Rock, he hits out of the park no matter what. He's quick on his heels. He's got that silver tongue that can keep it going. I mean, but I think Batista is an amazing actor. I just assumed he was really busy and couldn't come in and do this. I mean, all these guys that came in and did the voice work. I mean, Josh Brolin, Benicio. I mean, and Roker. These are all A-list stars, and they came in and did it, which was amazing. A lot of people were thinking that it was just going to be like if they got you and I to come in and voice.
Characters. Well, like they did for the Drax and Peter Quill, even though that's only a line too. I'm surprised they couldn't get what's his name for that, because that was just one line too, you know.
Well, maybe he was filming that the Amazon one.
Oh right, Tomorrow War.
Did you watch that?
I still haven't finished it.
Well, that's why we started talking about it. I watched it again. I love that movie.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'll goofy. Finish it. I'll finish it.
It's goofy, but I enjoy it. But this one, man, it was good. Other than it was just emotional hearing Chadwick Boseman's voice, but it was good. And I liked how they got T'Challa when Yondu and those guys came down to Earth. Like
the movie, they got that's the what Peter if Quill. Moment. Yeah, Taserface and Kraglin.
And they got the actors that played them in the movie to come in and voice them. And that was awesome. But it was cool. They came down in Wakanda. And where were – it was 1988 when they came down.
Yeah.
Up to T'Challa. But where did they pick up Quill from? I don't remember. I haven't seen Guardians in a while.
Man, I don't remember the actual state they picked him up in.
And there was no awesome soundtrack. And we got a cool song at the end of the episode, Flock Ziegel song. But I mean, T'Challa was just out in Wakanda, and he went past the it's not a force field. What is it?
Yeah, kind of, basically. You know what I loved about that scene? How they put the Watcher like in the sky in the distance, kind of hidden. I loved that they did that, because he was still like narrating the beginning on how things could have been different. I loved those little touches like that.
I mean, Jeffrey Wright, he's got a good voice for the Watcher. And they did a couple flicks of the switches for his voice, but it's still awesome. We're seeing here, what's his name? General Grievous, Matthew Wood. He's doing a lot of voices.
Right.
Also right here, Chadwick Boseman, he's going to be on 4 episodes.
Whoa.
So that's good. I mean, we get to hear him 3 more times, and oh man, it's sad. I mean, he did keep it quiet, but
he really did. Honestly, when I first heard he passed, I was like, oh no. I assumed it was something, the only things that happened sudden, like a car crash or something, you know? So to find out he like kept it that quiet was like shocking, you know?
Yeah. We had mentioned the Collector. I mean, this seemed to be, what were they looking for again?
The like seeds of life, which was like another cool thing. It was so... like, it was such a well-done story, because it's so funny. Like, if you boil down to it, like, they make Thanos in the MCU. He's not just a bad guy. He's actually, like, what you would almost call, like, an eco-warrior. Like, he's concerned about, like, the galaxy's resources and overpopulation. So he's like... oh, yeah, it'd be easy. You just get the stones and you snap your fingers. And it was so funny. Everybody kept saying, they're like, I'm pretty sure that's genocide. But the goal, the seeds they were going to get were going to, like, help, like super grow, like, food across like the galaxy and stuff. So it was like another thing, like, because when it comes down to it, it's funny, like I was saying, like Thanos is like an eco warrior.
there were the artifacts they were looking for were the embers of Genesis,
right?
It's a cosmic dust capable of terraforming ecosystems and entraining galactic hunger. Yeah, just basically making food. Right. The beginning, it says 1988, under orders from Celestial Eagle, the Ravengers are sent to Earth to retrieve his son, Peter Quill. Ravenger leader Yondu assigns the tasks his underlings, Kraglin?
Is that his name? Yeah, and, that's John Gunn.
Yeah, who mistakenly abduct a young T'Challa from Wakanda. T'Challa agrees to join the Ravagers to explore the galaxy. Because when they picked him up, he was just didn't seem scared or anything. It was like, all right, cool, let's go. And then he just took. But they did. Yondu went, who is this? And they were like, this is what you said. He's got the eye holes and the eat hole or food hole.
Yeah.
And he goes, and then he flicked that little hologram and goes, this isn't him. And then, whoops. So, 20 years later, after becoming a famous galactic mercenary called Star-Lord, T'Challa successfully persuades Thanos to abandon his plan of eliminating half of the life of the universe and obtains an orb containing the Power Stone from the planet Morag. Is that what it's? Yeah, yep. In the process.
Yes, just like Guardians.
Yeah, that was like at the very beginning. In the process, he also recruits Korath, the Punisher, the Pursuer, to the Ravagers. All right, that was cool. I mean, like we said, when he shows up to get the what was he getting? The the Power Stone.
Power Stone, yeah.
Yeah. In the movie, Peter Quill stuck that thing, whatever it was, on the like a grabby hand thing on the ground. And this, T'Challa was holding it, Star-Lord. Right. And that's how he's able to get it. And that's when all those guys came in and, oh man, should we bow? And
yeah.
Because at this point, I mean, since T'Challa was taken 20 years before all this started to happen, he was still a prince because his dad was still alive. I mean, this none of the stuff that happened in Civil War took place. I mean, his dad didn't die because he was there with him.
Right.
It's kind of confusing, but this is a different timeline because that's what the Watchers, the multiverse. This is all different.
Yeah,
why they're what?
And it's funny. As much as good can happen, and of course, preventing what Thanos did in the MCU, we knew. Of course, stopping that is good, but it's funny. Like the unintended consequences, like the Collector is one. He filled part of the void, but then like. Giving Ego that straight shot to Peter Quill, like I'm sure that creates some thing really bad too, which was avoided by what really happened with when they actually did just keep him, you know?
Yeah. But it says the Ravager is approached by Nebula, who pursues a heist to steal the Tanalir Tivan, or whatever, the Collector's artifacts, the Embers of Genesis, cosmic dust capable of da 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 da. Except in the mission, the Ravagers meet, is it Tivan or Tivan?
Yeah, Tivan.
Tivan and his Black Order henchmen Nowhere?
Yep, Nowhere.
With the pretext of offering him the orb, T'Challa infiltrates Tivan's vast collection, discovering the Wakandan spaceship sent out to search for him, revealing that Wakanda had not been destroyed as Yondu was claimed. All right, that was cool. When T'Challa was looking around before he found the Wakanda ship, there was a ton of ships and everything in the background that we've seen throughout all the movies. So I thought that was really cool.
That was awesome.
Can't go through all of them. I mean, I remember all of them, but I don't remember a lot. I mean, some of them were Guardians, but then there was some
And there's one of the Nova ships.
Yeah. So it's kind of, if we're not all looking at it, everyone, it's kind of hard. But I'm sure if you guys know and remember all those ships, you saw them in the background. I had to pause it and look. I was like, oh, man. And that's, I thought that was awesome. Tons of Easter eggs in this episode. So,
Nebula. I loved the first episode, but when you compare the two, like, this is really a what if. Like I loved everything we got with the Captain Carter, but in the end, she did follow near the same path as Steve Rogers, Captain America, would have. This one was like, man, things are so different if T'Challa's Star-Lord, you know?
I mean, there was no chaos in the universe. So,
right.
The part that got me hyped the most, and I was waiting for it, and I was like, my fingers were crossed, as T'Challa was walking through the collector stuff. You guys remember in the movies, they showed the dog. What was the dog's
Cosmo.
Name? Yeah.
Cosmo.
We just saw him like really quick. In this, we got to see him again, so that was cool.
Yeah.
The duck. there. Voiced by Seth Green again. He had a lot more lines, and he got to shine just a little few more seconds. So that was really cool because he was asking Howard the Duck. T'Challa was asking Howard the Duck where the Embers of Genesis is, and he was trying to explain to him, yeah, go past the ice giant and then the something, I can't remember. And then he's like, yeah, and he goes, you know what? He goes, here, just come and show me. And he
busts him. Give me the tour.
Yeah, so he busts him out. I like Howard the Duck walking around his little martini glass, and he was helping him. I was like hoping that he was going to be with him the rest of the way, but he got sidetracked, and that was the end of Howard the Duck, which was fine. Do you think we'll ever get a movie of him or?
Yeah, I do. I really do. If not, like, they'll do something. If like, even if it's not like a Disney Plus series, like, I could see them doing like a special, you know?
Yeah. I mean, one like episode. Something. Thing. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. But if you give me a movie, of course, I'm going to watch it. I've always loved Howard the Duck. I did love the Howard the Duck from the 80s. I know everyone
controversial.
I loved it. I mainly saw it because of the beautiful Leah Thompson. But I still watch that movie today. I love it. I got VHS, DVD, first go-around Blu-ray, and the Steelbook from FYE. So, I mean, I love that movie. It's goofy. I think there's a 4K version out now. I think I need to pick that up. But, I mean, it is what it is.
You know,
is.
A lot of people say they did him wrong, though, you know? They didn't do them right.
It wasn't. I mean, it wasn't Howard the Duck from the books. It was just they just took the name Howard the Duck and threw it.
He's even more like harsh in the books.
Oh yeah, and he was way harsh. He was all kid friendly in this one. I mean, but he was looking at a play duck, and they show naked ducks with boobs in that one. So can't go wrong with that. But it was cool that he popped up in this. I mean, I like how he looked animated. I love how he looked in Guardians.
Yeah. Ooh, that was cool, really cool. Blew me away. You were there in that was Guardians 1, and we were there in the theater. I was like, oh my God, it blew my mind. That was the last thing I expected.
Because we didn't get him into the end. And I was like, oh, that's it. And then I was hoping for more.
Yeah. I can't even remember like what he said. I think he's like, oh, Cosmo comes over and he's licking T'Von. And he's like, why do you let him lick you like that? Gross.
Nebula seemingly betrays the Ravagers to T'Von, leading them to their capture. T'Challa decrees T'Von's practice of imprisoning others in his collection, which inspires T'Von's assistant, Karina? Karina. T'Von orders T'Challa killed, but Karina shoots Ebony Maw to free T'Challa. Nebula shoots Corvus Glaive, and rescues the rest of the Ravagers, revealing that she and T'Challa planned to triple cross, which enabled her to acquire the embers. Nebula and Thanos defeat Obsidian and Proxima Midnight, while T'Challa and Yondu defeat T'Von. Karina frees T'Von's numerous captives, leaving T'Von in their mercy, while T'Challa forgives Yondu's deception. All right.
So there's something really dark in this episode. It might have gone over your head, but it caught my attention right away, and I was like, oh my God, that's like super dark. Like, yeah, for the most part, you got everything right with Thanos, but one of the things, and well, multiple, if you look at his treasure display case, but the darkest one is his, the first weapon he uses. I don't know if you noticed what he says when he puts it on. It's the rock arm. That's Korg's arm. And he's like, oh yeah, the guy I got this from, he was a real chatterbox or something. And I was like, damn, they killed Korg?
What is Korg? What are his people called?
I on the tip of my tongue right now, I can't remember, but I was like, damn.
That's what Howard Duck said when he said, go past the ice giants and whatever Korg's people are.
Yeah.
He was saying, well, I can't remember what they were called, but he was like, yeah, then we go past them and all that. So I was like, wow, because I caught that when Howard the Duck was trying to explain to him. So, I mean, that was cool, but if he took out Korg, I'm like, weak. So, but
yeah, and he took out Hela, and he may have taken out Thor and Captain America because he has the hammer and the shield.
That's what I was looking. I was like, wait a minute, because Eric was like, whoa, how did he get those? And he went, did he kill him? I was like, hey. I don't know. I mean,
necessarily. He didn't have to, but I mean, God, he definitely killed Korg, which is
he would have had to have done something to Captain America and Thor. He wouldn't just take it. I mean, especially the hammer.
Only
those who are worthy can
yeah, take. That one was a little bit of a stretch. It's one thing to get the shield, but yeah, it's another to get that. And you know he's not worthy.
Yeah, so I'm like, are you going to show us that story now? Because I want to see how he got it. But
yeah,
with these episodes, yes, they're different multiverse timelines, but I don't know if they're going to give us more from this T'Challa Star-Lord timeline. If they do, cool. But I don't know. I mean, because when we're going through the collector stuff, there was a lot of things we saw, and they're like, how the hell did he get all this? I mean, even the Wakandan ship, right. They only had the ships that were flying around Earth and everything, but this one was one that was built to go out into space because they were looking for him. Because I assume they looked all over Earth and couldn't find him. And the next best place, somebody came and got them. So that's why they had them go out and get it. I assume, I don't know if the collector killed them or maybe they just died, because he had their uniforms, their outfits in the ship. And then when T'Challa hit was checking out, because when he walked past it, his little necklace that he wears lit up, and it kind of powered the ship.
Powered it. Right.
Yeah, he went in, and that's when he saw the message about his father, and that they've been looking for T'Challa for 20 years. So I was like, oh, I thought that was pretty sweet. And again, it was good to see that they got his dad to come back, John Canny, to come back to voice T'Chaka. I thought that was awesome. But I mean, that was good. I mean, at least he was looking for his son. He didn't just go, all right, I don't know where he is. Maybe he's dead and forget him. I mean, he sent his people out to go searching for him. So, but again, that's another thing. How did he get that? How did he get that ship? How did he get all those ships that were in?
Right.
One ship that they were kind of saying, it looks like an X-Wing, but I was like, nah, that's really
quick. Oh. I saw a little interview with the person that's show running this What If, and he actually asked Disney if he could use Luke Skywalker. And they were like, that's like a what if too far for them, you know?
I mean, if anything, it'll work in this. I mean, sure. Marvel and the Star Wars universe
crossed over.
Yeah. I don't know. We would accept it in this, but we won't accept it in MCU movies. No.
Right.
Just watched the New Galleries episode when they talked all about season 2 of Mandalorian. Did you watch that one yet?
Not yet. I saw it was up, though.
Yeah, check that one out. Man, they rooked me because I saw a picture of Luke Skywalker, and they didn't even talk about that. The ending of the rescue, the final episode.
No, you know what? I think the thing you're referring to, they started talking about it, but I don't think it's actually up yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, August 25th.
Oh, okay.
But it comes out.
I did watch Gallery, that episode of them making, because they talked to all the directors and the stars and everything. Sucks that what's her name is not going to be in anything anymore. Gina Carano, because she was all over that episode. They didn't even talk to Sasha Banks. They showed her, but I was like, all right, whatever. But yeah, if that thing that coming on with Luke, because they actually show Mark Hamill like in the suit again in his Black Jedi outfit, and I thought it was going to be at the end of this, or at least show some of it. They didn't even touch the ending of when Luke was in it, but I had to go and rewatch that final episode again. And damn it, did I tear up again? That was just amazing.
Awesome.
Yep. I couldn't believe it. It was sad at the end that Grogu had to go with Luke, but oh my god, that was
what's gonna happen next.
Greatest things in TV history ever. I mean,
so good.
But all right. Now, afterwards, the Ravengers return to Earth, where T'Challa reunites with his father, his mother, and his sister in Wakanda.
Great scene.
Elsewhere on Earth, an older Quill is now working as a Dairy Queen janitor.
Like the start of two.
Yeah, and he's approached by his dad, Kurt Russell. That was awesome to hear his voice in it.
Yep.
Ego, he was a planet in the books, but I guess he's a man.
Well, he is. He is, but he's got just like a piece of him.
No, I wanted the book, but man, we can't get everything. But it was an awesome ending. I thought that was cool. But yeah, I mean, I want to know what Andy Dwyer was doing that he couldn't come in and record
one line. He could have done it over the phone, honestly.
I mean, he could have did it on his phone and sent it to him. I don't know. He was busy. And I'm sure that one line, all right, will give you 10 grand or something like that to do it.
Crazy. But true. Probably true. The return to Wakanda scene, man. I love that. We kind of mentioned a little early in the episode where I think it's Okoye is talking to Thanos, and she's like, I'm pretty sure it's genocide. And then Nebula's like, oh, Dad. That was awesome. And Korath, like, bragging. He's like, I'm pretty much Star-Lord's best friend. I loved that, the whole thing, that whole ending.
It was a good episode. I mean, we still got more episodes to come of this. I can't wait for the Marvel Zombies one. That's the one I want to see the most.
Yeah. Next, we get something with Loki. It may be the Party Thor episode. They made a pop for that. It's exclusive to Walmart, but I missed the day it came out. So I'm on the hunt.
I didn't see it when I was down there. I just saw the G.I. Joe one and was it Crash Bandicoot? Is that what it was?
Yeah, Crash Bandicoot. Yeah,
I just saw those. By the time those, what the hell are those things called in G.I. Joe? The bats or whatever.
Yeah.
It was starting to get stupid. So I was kind of tuning out. It when they brought in them and the Serpentor and the bug people and all that crap.
Serpentor.
I was so stupid. I hated Cobra. Yeah. Dumb. Skimmy Destro, Major Blood, Zartan, and the Dreadnoks, and Baroness, and Storm. Give me all them. Keep all the crap. Serpentor. That was so stupid. That's when I was like, that was in the little TV miniseries. No, it was in a TV show when he came in. They even gave me Tomax and Zaymon. I thought they were awesome. Twins.
The twins, yep.
But Serpentor, dumb. That's why I was looking at the problem.
It's like, funny. That's kind of where it lost me, too. I remember back in the day.
It was a cool sculpt, but I was like, nah, I'm good. I'll venture around the Reno ones. Did those just come out?
Yeah. Party Thor. He's got like a drink in one hand and he's spinning the hammer in his other hand. So
all right.
I think that might be the next episode. The only thing I know for sure is that it is like a Loki episode. And it makes me wonder what if, because the one picture, it looks like Loki has the army of Asgard behind him. So if I just had to go out on a limb and guess, it's what if Loki wasn't as mischievous and was like true to Asgard or something? I don't know. Like a warrior for Asgard.
Yeah, well, we'll see. When do these episodes drop?
Wednesdays.
All right. So Tuesday night.
Yep.
But all right, everyone, that was episode 2.
Loved it.
What if child was a Star-Lord? Awesome.
Blew me away.
Very emotional. Well, yeah, we'll be back next week with whatever. If Loki's in it, cool, sweet. Obviously, it's voiced by...
obviously, got to be Hiddleston. Yeah.
It can't be. He's Loki from now on.
Yeah.
Like you said last episode, he must be.
He said he'd play forever.
Good. but before we get out of here, what's today's date? I don't even know what it is. But
it is August 19th.
Yeah, August 19th, 2021. We lost the great Sonny Chiba, Street Fighter, Kill Bill, Shogun Samurai, Storm Raiders, a bunch of things. And he was 82 and he died of COVID-19 complications. I believe he was in Japan when he passed. And I was like, oh man, I woke up to that. Like, damn it. I grew up with Sonny Chiba, Street Fighter and everything. And the awesome, goofy movies, but awesome. Sonny Chiba did a lot of good things. He popped up in a lot of good martial arts movies. It was awesome that he popped up in Kill Bill. That was something I didn't know that. I was just sitting there watching the movie, and when he came across the screen, Hanzo, wasn't he? He was the one that made the swords.
Right. Hattori Hanzo.
Yeah, the katana swords. So I that was awesome. And I loved all the stuff. I need to break that movie. I haven't seen that movie. I loved what he was telling her about it and everything. So, but yeah, that one was kind of rough this morning when I found that out. But he was 82 and I don't really know what his medical situation was before he got it. But
he was definitely, in the vulnerable age range. That's
all it
takes. So, regardless.
I'm glad my grandmother toughed it out. She's in her 90s.
Awesome.
So I'm glad that she made it through. But, rest in peace, Master Chiba. And I don't even know if you can try to say his Japanese name. But that's going to be it, unless you got anything else.
One last thing. Since we just recorded last night, I've been trying to, well, not only I was waiting to talk to Jade about this episode of What If, which that was a lot of fun, just like we had right now. But I've been telling her to watch Reservation Dogs, like we talked about yesterday. And like 15 minutes in, she called me just to tell me how much she was loving it. So I told her, I'm glad to hear it, and Nez will be glad to hear it. And you got a lot of good stuff to look forward to. I told her about the heart. You got to look forward to an episode 2. And then Nez's favorite episode was episode 3. So, yeah, she's excited. She probably watched them all tonight, this evening.
I've watched them numerous times already. And we're only 3 episodes in.
Right.
Can't wait for the rest of the season. But all right, everyone, that's going to be it for this anchor episode. Hopefully we'll be back soon with a regular episode. Hopefully this fire gets under control, and hopefully they can open up the highway so I can get to the airport, so I can get down to Vegas to the bitch ass Vegas Raiders stadium for WWE SummerSlam. My fingers are crossed. If I don't make it, I don't make it. I'm not gonna try to battle the blaze just to get to wrestling. But if I get there, definitely you'll get some videos and some audio from people that I'm gonna talk to while I'm down there. So cross your fingers, everyone, for me. And again, said this on the last few episodes, all you men and women out there fighting these fires, the one here, the Dixie Fire, and the ones all over up and down California and all other states in the United States that are dealing with the flooding and everything, please, you guys are our heroes. Thank you for what you guys do. All the law enforcement are out there helping. Shout out to Steven. He's out there doing it. He's a local guy here. And all the medical staff and everything that are dealing with the issues dealing with the fires and everything dealing with the pandemic still that we're still in, everyone. We're not going all wild. Speaking of that, and going down to the bitch ass Raiders stadium, did you see that they're requiring vaccination cards to get in there?
They did. That's interesting. Kind of surprising, really.
I want to know if they're going to do that to when we go to SummerSlam. I don't know.
I'd be surprised.
If they do, here you go. Then I'm going in. So,
right.
Either way, I want all you guys out there, men and women, to be safe when you're out there fighting these fires. And all you people that are in the hospitals working, doctors, nurses, everybody in the medical field. I mean, even the janitorial custodians that are out there helping clean up everything in the hospitals and everything. Thank you so much for everything you guys do. You guys are the true heroes. We're just guys talking about movies and things we love. But if it wasn't you guys, we'd all be in hell. But everyone else, thank you so much for listening. Do go over to the regular network and listen to everything over there. And the past few episodes we dropped, also the MacNet special when I hooked up with Oki Podcast, Native Film Talk, and Skoda and Cinema. Check out all that. And we talk about the first 2 episodes of Reservation Dogs, and yeah, and all that. So until next time, everyone, please be safe out there. We love you all, and party on.
Yep. Thanks everybody for listening. Till next time, have fun, be safe, and we'll see you next time, Society.
And remember, when you're out of luck, always go duck.